From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, this hour we are following the events that happened at the Kabul airport. You've probably heard that there was a suicide bombing, at least one explosion, perhaps multiple explosions there, along with reports of gunfire, well over a dozen people killed, and reports still coming in about many injuries. It was an attack that, unfortunately, American and British authorities thought was likely coming today. There was a lot of intelligence on this, but it was hard to tell exactly what form it would come in. They had warned people to be very careful or perhaps avoid the crowds outside the airport with people trying to flee the Taliban there. That attack has now dispersed some of the crowds, and there are questions about whether the evacuations will be able to continue as planned and what happens next, with thousands, including about 1,500 Americans and many, many more thousands of Afghans who are both SIVs, special immigrant visas for the interpreters and the Afghans who helped Americans, along with their families, waiting for a chance to leave and the deadline coming. Ellen Smith is the executive director of an organization called Keeping Our Promise. She's been working for years to bring SIVs to the Rochester area. And we spoke with her recently on this program about this effort. Today is the kind of news that I know that she feared. She's on the line with us now. Ellen, what are you hearing now? What's the latest that you're hearing?
I mean, essentially the evacuation's over. It's closed down. I talked to a couple of military guys who were trying to get their interpreters over, and we were working with them. We got them on evacuation list, and they've been advised to go to another country. So basically try to get smuggled out to safety. But at this point, as far as everyone is saying, and the word on the ground is this evacuation is over.
You know, certainly we haven't heard from President Biden or other leaders in the administration about whether the evacuation effort will simply be paused or if it effectively will end. Because, Ellen, there's two things that are really effectively going to happen here. There's the question on how many flights either get delayed or canceled now. There's also the question on whether people even try to get to the airport knowing that it has become such a target. Is that your concern, that even if they resume flights, people won't even try to go there?
Look, there were flights available yesterday. There were flights available early today. I was live with people, with a group, a contingency of people to come to Rochester, and they would not open the gates, but flights were available. We had an offer of a chartered plane that and we could take 65 people out, but they couldn't get through the gates. The Taliban wasn't letting anyone through the gates. And that was just the bottom line. Nobody was moving. And so what we had decided this morning was that all the Rochester people needed to get together at Abbey Gate. And so we started creating, one of our volunteers started creating a WhatsApp list. We had created a smaller WhatsApp list at about 11:30 last night, which was 7:30 Kabul time, with the people at the airport. But what we did was create a bigger list. So we wanted everybody with the Rochester connection together. And then our plan was to contact the media and say, look, this is everybody we have together, and we need to get them out into Rochester, and to beg Gillibrand, Morelli, Schumer to do something with the State Department to get them out. And as that list was being created, the suicide bomber went off. None of our people were injured, but everyone heard it and knew what had happened.
I want to listen to some sound from just earlier this morning. WXXI reporter Noel Evans spoke with Waleed Habibi this morning after the explosion at the airport. Waleed was on this program just recently. He was an interpreter with working with Americans and was able to come to Rochester just earlier this year. But his mother, wife, and three young daughters, ranging in age from 7 at the oldest down to a year and a half, well, they had just received an emergency visa. They'd been outside that airport waiting for almost a full day, 24 hours, just to try to get inside the airport and get out on one of these flights. And then the explosion happens. And here is Waleed talking about what happened next and what he's been able to learn about his family.
They are trying to get into Kabul airport, but for people like my mother, who's a wheelchair dependent, and my wife and three children, it is not easy to get in Kabul airport because too crowded, lots of people over there, there's lots of gunfire, and there's lots of violence. Situation is not under control of even the people who's controlling the airport. So it is very difficult right now. Actually, if I be honest, I have lost my hope to find a way for them to just get in the airport. So the best choice for us right now to bring them out from that area and just get back them home safely. That's our first priority for now.
Waleed did follow up and tell WXXI News that he received a call from his family. They have managed to get back to their house in Kabul safely and unharmed. But as you heard him say now, there is not a feeling that they're going to be able to get to the airport, even though they may be eligible for flights out. Ellen, what happens next with that family?
I don't know, Evan. I mean, that's the problem, is you have to realize, even if they got in, Waleed's family had these, they were issued like these temporary visas, as were two other families that we know. And when they actually were able to make it into the first round of Abbey Gate. But then when they got to the section where the Americans were, they said, oh, we don't recognize. Now, Waleed's family didn't get this far, but these other two, they said, we don't recognize those visas. Those were temporarily issued last week. They were issued right before state closed the airport for 2 days. And they said, basically, those had expired. There was no expiration date on those visas. You know, they were told to get to the airport when they could. And yet they were turned back. And then I had one soldier tell me that, his interpreter was in the airport. And then at night, they made him leave the gate. They said that nobody was staying there overnight, and they kicked him out.
Does this mean there has to be an attempt to get out of the country a different way? You mentioned smuggling, other routes. I mean, is there now sort of plan?
Yeah. I mean, the plan has to be up to our families and what they feel safe doing. You know, if they can somehow get to another country, you know, if they can get to Islamabad, Uzbekistan or Tajikistan, where there's a U.S. presence, and they've got their paperwork. A lot of it's computerized. We've, you know, the congressman has a list of names of everyone that we've just been furiously documenting, four members of Congress. And that's shared with the State Department. I mean, these people are on a list somewhere, and that's what I'm going to continue to do with our volunteers, is just compile these lists for the State Department to say we're asking for these people to please get considered if, in fact, they can make it to another embassy or consulate.
Ellen, tomorrow, 24 hours from now, we'll talk to you on this program at length, and my hope is that the situation will be different, and that we will be able to learn at least something about some semblance of a plan going forward. But before I let you go today, when you think about all the people who still have not been evacuated and the impact of this deadly bombing today, is there any way in your mind the American administration can stick to this August 31st deadline now? I mean, is this not an opening to at least say, look, the deadline is off. We are going to take our time and find other ways to get people out. Because if not, I think you're right. I mean, inevitably, this pauses or stops and keeps thousands more in that country, right?
In my opinion, the right thing to do is not stop the evacuations, not leave next week, as is planned. You know, Biden was strongly chastised and encouraged by the G7 leaders not to abandon these people, and yet he said, no, we're out of there. That is not the right thing, and all I can think of is think of the St. Louis the ship of Jewish people that no one would let them land. No one would give them safe haven. And every time I hear that we're negotiating with the Taliban, all I can personally think is we are negotiating with the equivalent of Nazis in this modern day age. That's how I think. And we don't do that. We need to get these people supported us, and we need to get them out.
Yeah. Earlier this week, in an interview with Richard Engel of NBC News, a Taliban spokesman said that they had to retrain their rank and file to not abuse women in public, and that it would take some time. And this is an official Taliban position. It would take some time to retrain their rank and file not to physically abuse women in public. So therefore, they were asking women not to venture out of homes. That's the situation.
And part of our contingency coming to Rochester are women.
Yeah. So we will talk tomorrow. Ellen, are you going to be in touch, if you can, with lawmakers' offices? I mean, I'm sure it's a chaotic day for them, but do you get the sense that the Chuck Schumers of the world, the Kirsten Gillibrands of the world, Joe Morellis of the world have any real pull here?
You know, I don't know. I mean, when I was begging yesterday for somehow to get our people in so they could get a flight out offered to us, it was sort of like, well, we're not sure how to do that. You know, I wasn't asking for a flight to Rochester. I was asking for a flight to a safe haven. And we had that available to us through Miles for Migrants and a donor. And I don't know what else I can do. They know the desperation. I haven't been silent.
We will talk to you tomorrow on this program, and I sincerely hope that there is the kind of news that might offer some hope for you and the families, Ellen.
I hope so, Evan, and I just thank you from my heart for always thinking of us and having us on your show.
No, always. We'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Ellen Smith.
Thank you. Bye.
Executive Director of Keeping Our Promise. And listeners of this program have gotten to know Ellen over the years because she's been on this program a number of times. And I've said a couple times in the last week, I'll keep saying it. When Ellen has called us in the past, we have always essentially said yes. You know, she calls when there are new stories to share or new pleas to make. And those kind of pleas have been made over the years with real urgency and fear well before this evacuation was happening. The Taliban has been targeting SIVs and their families for the last, I mean, since the war, for 20 years. So the urgency has always been there. And this is an organization that has been doing this work. And now everything that they've been trying to do for years, they're trying to compress into a span of about 14 days. And the bombing today is going to make that impossible is not the right word, but the despair that people are feeling is palpable. So where we go from here, I don't know. We'll talk to Ellen tomorrow.